You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, turn with me, if you will, if you have your Bibles, to Revelation chapter 3. That's where we're going to begin. That's what I've got stirring in me. I'm not teaching on end time, but there's a couple of verses I would like to pull out of there, glean out of there. Actually, I got this message from watching my dog this morning. Now, if that doesn't stir you up, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
I mean, already, you just can't wait to hear this message, right? It's going to change your life. Yeah, it's amazing how God speaks to you, the ways He speaks to you. I was walking out the door this morning, getting ready to come to the office via Starbucks. Sometimes it takes me a long time to get to the office. I have to go through Terrell to get here. But as I was walking out the door, our couch is backed up to the window by the back door. And Mr. Bentley, our little dog, I call him Mr. Bentley or Sir Barks-a-Lot. He has this little spot on the back of the couch that he gets up on, and the curtain on the window is just kind of pushed away where he sticks his head out there and looks outside. And he just sits there and he looks outside, like all dogs do that live in the house, wishing they could be outside, you know, looking through that window. And I must have seen that hundreds of times. I don't know how many times I've seen him do that. But as I was walking out the door, something just kind of bumped in me. I got a message. I love that when that happens. I didn't get the whole message, but I got something, and so I started meditating and chewing on it and repeating it and praying about it. You know, you ought to be, as Tommy said, you ought to be quick to obey God when He moves you to do something. You ought to be quick to pray about things when God's trying to show you something. I know with me, the way I get a lot of revelation, sometimes many sermons come this way, I'll just get a thought. Something will inside me just kind of, my curiosity gets up, and God's trying to show me something. I don't have a clear picture, but if I hold on to it and keep meditating on it, keep talking about it to myself, praying about it, thinking of scriptures along those lines, it'll start opening up to me.
Yeah.
So there I was watching Mr. Bentley look out the window, thinking about what was going in his head, you know, wanting to be outside like a kid looking out the window. And yet there's no way to get out there except through the door. So I started meditating on being inside and outside. You know, this world is inside the Spirit. It's not the opposite. We often think that, you know, we get in the Spirit, and that's just a metaphor in the Spirit. Actually, the Spirit surrounds this earth or surrounds this world, and the eternal outside is the Spirit. In fact, as long as you're in this world, you can't fully experience the Spirit. You'll have to leave this world. Are you with me? And you will step out of this body, out of this world, into the Spirit. That's where the sun goes on, the landscapes and the trees go on forever and ever. Hallelujah. That's the real outside. That's what you get glimpses of from time to time, but you really can't experience it except through the door of faith or the door of God's Spirit. And we get pieces, bits and pieces of it. So I just meditating on being inside or being outside, then I got to thinking about doors, how that God opens a door for us to experience the things of God. Are you with me? And only God can open that door. The things you're looking for are not inside this world. The things you're looking for are outside this world. We're just looking out the window. And most of us got the curtain closed, we're not even looking. Don't realize there's something more out there, something better than the house that we're in. Mr. Bentley has more sense than we do sometimes. Because he knows there's something better. He knows he's actually experienced it because I let him out every once in a while, you know. and then he comes back in. So I was meditating on that. You found Revelation?
Yes.
We're going to run with that. Revelation chapter 3. Of course, this is where Paul, John, by the Spirit, is speaking to the churches, the seven churches of Asia, Asia Minor, present-day Turkey. Second chapter is Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and Thyatira. Those are the four churches he writes letters to there. The third chapter he writes to Sardis and to Philadelphia and Laodicea. And to the church at Philadelphia, there's a verse here. Jesus is speaking through John to these churches. And he says here in the eighth verse of the third chapter, he says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I love that. You know, before us as Christians, as believers, there is an open door to the things of God. And there is no man that can shut that door.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Yeah. Amen.
No matter what's going on in this life, there's a door open to the peace of God. There's a door open to the strength of God. There's a door open to the joy of God. There's a door that God has opened that no man can shut. Nothing in this life can shut that door. Only God can open it, and only God can shut it. And if we're serving God, we got an open door into the things of God. That's what doors do. Doors afford you access from one place to another. Or they prohibit, if they're closed, access from one place to another. Mr. Bentley, when I leave the house, is shut off from the outside world. And all he can do is sit on the back of that couch and look out that window and bark at those dogs, having a big time out in the backyard. We've got yard dogs and we've got house dogs. Mr. Bentley's a yard dog. A house dog. Mr. Bentley's a natural dog. Libby, Amos, and Sable are spiritual dogs. They live in the world of the spirit. Mr. Bentley lives in the flesh, in the natural, longing to get into the spirit. Are you with me? With Libby and Amos and Sable. And need I say anything about Chris's countless dogs, that Clover and all those dogs, you know, so outside. God opens that door. Thank God. Are you with me? In fact, he has control over that door. But there's a door that you and I have control over. And that's the door that allows God into our house. In the same chapter, notice the 20th verse, he's talking to the church of Laodicea. He says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Wow. Y'all catching this?
Yeah.
We're talking about two doors. We're talking about two worlds. God opens the door to the Spirit. You can reach in there and receive. If you'll come to him and you'll walk through that door. But if you're not willing to come to God and go through that door, you can't get what's in that world in your world.
Amen.
Paul said, if in this life alone we have hope, we're of all creatures most miserable. Thank God we have hope outside this life and we can access the world of the Spirit. We can call on God. We can cry out to God. That door is open. Hallelujah. His arms are extended. He's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. All we got to do is come. Walk through the door. Amen?
Amen.
But see, our doors many times is closed to him. Because sure, there's an outside world out there, a yard. There's an inside world here in the flesh and the natural that really for God to gain access to, someone, you, me, somebody has to open that door to allow him in. Even when Jesus came to redeem us, he had to become one of us to get in this world.
Yeah. That's right.
Think about it. How did God get in this world? Through Jesus, through a body. Y'all with me? Well, what about now? What does he do now? Well, I don't know if you remember or thought about it, but we are the body of Christ.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 12:27 says we're the body of Christ, members in particular. Ephesians 1:22 and 22 says he hath put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we are his hands, we are his feet, we are his access into the house of this world. You can keep him out or you can let him in. Are you with me? He's knocking. He's knocking.
That's
what it says right here. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Is he standing at the door of the Spirit and knocking? No, he's in the Spirit. That door's wide open. He stands at the door of your world, your heart, your life, your circle of influence, and he is knocking, waiting for you to open that door up. You say, well, what in the world are you talking about? You mean I can stop God from moving my... Absolutely. You can keep the door shut. That door has no handle on the outside. You know, I've seen those paintings. You ever seen those paintings or pictures of Jesus standing at the door, knocking, and there's a... If you'll notice, there's no doorknob on this side. They got it. When they did that picture, they got it. They got it right. There is no doorknob on the outside. You have to open that up and let him in.
That's right.
So many times we're waiting on God to move in our lives. He's waiting on us to open the door.
Yes, that's it.
Through yielding to him. As sure as God opens the door to the Spirit, we open the door to the natural.
That's right.
So I don't know about that. Well, I'm just reading the scripture. How about you?
Yes.
That's not my opinion. This is what God said. He can't come in your life unless you let him in. Isn't that what he's saying? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Hallelujah. Somebody.
Hallelujah.
We'll let what's outside in.
Yeah.
Woo, glory. Because that's what doors do. They allow access from one place to another. You know, and there's a lot of things out there in the Spirit that we need to let in our life. We need to allow in our life. The fruits of the Spirit. And on and on and on. We could list things. You know, and anyone ever moved in a house and didn't have any furniture? And then you started getting furniture and you started bringing it in. You got to bring it in from the outside to the inside through the door. God has all kinds of things he'd like to furnish our house with.
Yes.
We're living in plain walls, no paintings on the wall. And I'm talking about our personality, our life, our character, our relationships. And he wants to hang some paintings on the wall, put some couches so we can lean up on the top of that couch and look out that window like Mr. Bentley. He wants to, we're sitting on the floor and could be sitting on couches. But we got to open the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Wow. He's waiting to get in. Don't limit yourself to this world. Don't limit yourself to what you see. Don't limit yourself to all this world has available or doesn't have available. At least have as much sense as Mr. Bentley. Get on the back couch, look outside, and realize there's another world. That's by looking in the Word, looking in the window of God's Word.
Yeah.
Once you see these things, go over there and open the door.
Amen. That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And allow him in. Turn over to Matthew 7. Here's a good one. Everybody think about a door. I don't think about a door literally, the physical door. I think when the Bible talks about a door in the sense that we're talking about it, it's a metaphorical, it's an allegory, it's a picture, it's symbolism. So what you think about when you think about a door is not the door, but what a door does. What are the characteristics of a door, the attributes of a door? It's kind of like Jesus told that woman at the Samaritan woman at the well in the fourth chapter of the book of John. He said, if I have water if you drank of, you'd never thirst again. And she said, Lord, you don't even have a bucket.
Yeah.
She was thinking literally, and he was talking symbolically.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about drawing water, literal water out of a well. He was talking about getting water out of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Water from another world.
Yeah, that's right.
And a natural bucket wouldn't do that. So when we're talking about a door or a portal or an access to another world, that's what we're talking about. And you can shut that off in your life or you can open that up in your life. God's door's open, it's our doors that's closed.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just open a little bit and there's some furniture, it's a little too big, it can't quite come through there. Because God always has something bigger for us. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Than we have in mind, so we don't open the door up big enough.
Right.
Or we let him in a little bit, but he wants us to open it up bigger and wider and let the rest of the stuff he has. He wants the big screen TV. Hello. I'm just using things, analogy here. Okay, Matthew 7. Found it?
Yes, sir.
Matthew 7, classic, Jesus speaking. Let me turn to it. Let me give you a tip if you're a minister and turn to the scripture first, then tell everybody else to turn to it. Matthew 7. Jesus speaking. Notice what he says here in the 7th verse. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. You know, God, the thing is, the things of God are there, we're just not knocking on the door. And if you stay with the point he's making, how do you do that? By asking,
yeah.
By seeking, by knocking. How does God get into your life? Knocks on the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I believe Jesus is knocking on our door. We're not knocking on his.
That's right. Amen.
He's wanting to get into our life. We're not real interested in getting into his life. He's wanting to operate in our world. We're not really interested so much operating in his world. But we should. Amen? And if we'll ask and we'll seek and we'll knock, that door will be open to us. In essence, we'll be opening the door to our life for him to move in our life. And I think we can widen the door as we increase our faith. You know, I talked one time about expanding your capacity to believe. I think a lot of times we've got a 20-gallon problem, we've got a 10-gallon hat on. Are you with me? And we need to expand our capacity to believe. The problem's bigger than our faith is, in the sense that, but we can do something about that. We can believe and expand our faith. Your faith grows exceedingly, the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the more you expand your capacity to believe, the more you're able to do and be used by God. The bigger bucket you bring, the more you're going to take back with you. I mentioned this the other night. If you come full, not hungry, you're not going to leave with a whole lot. If you sit at the table and you ate before you came, in the sense that, you know, you're not desiring it, you're not hungering for it, it can be a great message and God can be moving, but you won't walk away with anything because you don't have any room for anything. That's why we ought to always come hungry when we come to God's Word. Always come hungry when we come to a service, so we can have room, make room. Hallelujah. So it says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened.
Yeah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. I think there's some doors closed in our lives. We're not knocking. Are you with me? We're not opening it when he's knocking. You know, when the Holy Spirit deals with you, he's knocking on your door. Tommy shared that testimony. He's knocking on your door. He's wanting you to go open up and go do something, go say something, go pray something or whatever. And he wants to get in our lives. He wants to move. We are the inroad into this earth. We are the door into this earth.
Yes.
He is the door into heaven.
That's right.
There's no way to heaven except through him. He says, I am the door. And in one sense, he was two doors, because he was the way God came into the earth.
Yes.
So he was a door into the earth for God to come into the earth, and we beheld him. We saw Emmanuel, God with us.
That's right.
And it's interesting that he didn't come as a cow, and he didn't come as a light. He came as a man.
Yeah.
He became a man so he could come into this world, because he needed a man to get in this world. That's the door into this world. Just being born in this earth is your right to be here. But it doesn't give you the right to go to heaven.
That's right.
See, Jesus came legally. He had a right to be here because he was born into this world. And he redeemed us. Hallelujah.
That's right.
He came legally. He came right. He came through the door. He came through the flesh. He came through a body.
Yes.
That's good stuff.
It is. Very good.
It's good stuff. And then he turns around. Now he's the door to heaven. The only way you can get in heaven is to get in Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
He said, I'm the door. By me you can enter in.
Yes.
And pasture and feed and come back. See, through Jesus we go in and out of both worlds. We're amphibious.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means we can swim with both arms. I'm just seeing if you're out there, okay? You with me? That would be ambidextrous. Anyway. We can live in two worlds.
Yes.
As Christians, as believers, we can access this other world because that door is open for us. All we got to do is ask. All we got to do is seek. All we have to do is knock, and the door opens. Everyone that asks is received. Everyone that seeks is find. Everyone that knocks, the door will be open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
And we need to keep that door open for God in our lives. Allow him to use us. There's lots of times we allow him, lots of times we don't. But he's not going to kick the door down. God is not a SWAT team. Hello. He's not just going to bust the door down and use you anyway. You have to allow him to do that. You know, Psalm 78 says they limited the Holy One of Israel. Man. Can you limit God? You can in your life. You can stop him. You can just not believe. You can be not be used.
That's right.
or you can open that door and allow him in. If not, then what in the world does that scripture mean? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens up, I'll come in. He needs permission.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, that's often awesome when you think. It's not sacrilegious to say that. Stay with me now. I'm just saying in your life, you have to allow God in your life.
Right.
You have to call. You have to cry out unto him. You can shut that door or you can keep that door open.
Yeah.
Now, turn with me along those same lines. Turn to Psalms 81. Oh, you'll love this. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we have a dog named Mr. Bentley. Get revelation from watching Mr. Bentley. Revelation starts flowing, you know. Actually, I don't know if it's Mr. Bentley or Starbucks or something together. I know this, that if I'll meditate on something and chew on something and just talk about it, even to myself, and just go over it and go over the scriptures, that thing will begin to blow up and explode and expand. See, I think we let go too quick. Or like the kid that, you know, he's kicking the screen door trying to get it out, and it's latched, and he kicks it, and he finally kicks it one last time and walks off. And the last time he kicked it, the latch came undone, but he turned around and he quit, and he didn't realize it. We got to keep kicking. We got to keep, are you with me? At revelation, we have to keep chewing on it, meditating on it. You know, I was sharing with Amanda and Chris this morning or sometime. I think it was this morning. Because we'll pray in the morning. We get together and we pray and over the day and pray over what we do and why we do it. And one thing I always pray is that we never forget why we do what we do. That no matter whether it's video editing, no matter whether it's answering the phone or it's book work or paperwork or accounting, the mundane things of life, all this equates to souls. It all comes down to people getting saved. That's why we're here. Amen. People getting saved, healed, filled with the Holy Ghost, and marriages put back together, and on and on and on. And so we want to keep our vision up. So we pray every morning. We'll pray, you know, just over the day and over our priorities and so on. And I was sharing with them how that it's amazing to me, all these years I've been pastoring, 27 years, and ministering several years even on top of that I wasn't pastoring, you know, doing missionary work and doing evangelistic work before I ever came up here, and how much I've read the Bible, how many times I've read the Bible, how much I still love the Bible. It just amazes me how I can read across something and it just jumps at me, and I've never seen that before. And it would be a scripture that I've read literally hundreds of times. But there's something going on in my life, or there's something going on in the world, or there's something I'm dealing with at that certain time, and I'll see that verse and I go, my Lord, that is just awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
And it just amazes me how rich the Word is. But see, that's why we got to stay at it. Because you don't know it all. You are never going to know it all. God has so much rich, deep truths here that you and I could not handle all of them. And as we mature and grow, a little more starts being revealed. And a little more starts being revealed. In fact, we have to learn some truths before we can learn other truths. Because some truths we're not able to handle. As Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you're not able to hear them. Are you with me? And so that's why you want to keep coming. You say, well, I've been saved for all these years. Why do I need to keep coming to church? Well, you need to come because God said so. That would be good enough. But then again, it's you just don't know it all yet. And, you know, you need to get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago.
Amen.
We can all change. Amen. We can all grow.
That's right.
So hang in there with it, especially when you feel like God's... Maybe this message, I don't know, any message, or just reading, something comes alive to you. Don't let it go. Don't let it slip. Chew on that thing about a week.
Yeah.
Watch that thing come alive. Watch it explode. Start sharing it with other people. Sharing what you heard. Write some notes down. Dig it in there. Find some other scriptures. I know when I'm preaching right now, there are other scriptures coming alive to you. I know when I minister right now, there are things in your life coming alive to you. Things you need to do. There's some doors in your life you need to open up. Let God in.
That's right.
Come on now. I know the Holy Ghost is moving in every message and every sermon. And so don't you shut that. Don't walk out of here and say, man, that was a great message. No, you open that door up. You say, God, I repent. I'm opening that door up. I'm going to let you into that area of my life. And I'm going to start knocking on your door.
Amen.
I have not been sitting on the couch. I had not been looking out the window. I've just been locked into this room in this world. And I know there's more than this life. There's more than this world.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Psalms 81. Found it? Psalms 81. Think about it this way. I got to set this up because just cold turkey, you won't get it. But in Matthew 7, we open that door. You actually open the door when you open your mouth. Because he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find, knock and be open. Knock and the door will be open. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh find, everyone that knocketh, the door will be open unto you. And then the next example he used right after that, he said, which one of you being evil has a son coming to him? Ask for a piece of bread, and you throw him a stone and say, here, chew on that. Or ask for a fish, and you throw him a scorpion, and say, go eat that. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more should your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? That's the context of that. So all that ask, seek, knock can be summed up in asking. Yes. It's summed up in your voice. It's summed up in your confession. It's summed up in your praying. What you're saying.
That's right.
What you're saying is shutting doors or opening doors. Yeah. If you call on God, you open that door. Yeah. If you shut your mouth to God, you shut the door to God.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? So that would be the context of that. So we need to keep our mouth open to God. Speaking to God, calling on God, asking God, and that keeps that door open, see? The moment you stop calling on God, asking God, seeking God, when you close the mouth, you close the door in that sense. And so God wants to, He's got all kinds of things He wants to bring into our lives. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And here's what He says in Psalm 81. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it.
That's right, yeah.
Woo. Man. I'll bring in that big screen TV. Now, I'm not talking about a big screen TV. I'm just using it as an example. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think that's great. And sure, God bless you with that. I'm just using it as an example so you can track with me. Okay? You have to open that door wide to let the big things in.
Yeah.
You can just say, well, you know, I love Jesus. But until you open your mouth wide, God, I want everything you have in my life. I give my life to you.
Yeah.
I come to you with my whole heart, my whole soul. You open it wide, now the big things will start coming in.
Yeah. Yes.
The big things in the world of the Spirit start coming into your world. When you open your mouth wide, He will fill it.
Yeah.
Get it? That word open there is the Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew word. Yeah. It has the connotation. I know what it has the connotation of. It's rakab is the Hebrew word. It has the connotation of making space. I like that. Making space and enlarging and making room.
Yeah.
You know, if we're not confessing God's word, we're not calling on God, we're not making room for God.
That's right.
We're not making space for God.
That's right.
We're not allowing Him in. But if we'll open our mouth wide,
yeah.
I've brought in refrigerators sometimes, you have to take the door post off, you know, the jams. Mm-hmm. You got to take the door off and then you got to take the jams out. You know, the little stops there. You know, you had to take them out to get the door in because it just the door wasn't wide enough to let it in. But I was so determined to get it in, I was going to open that door as wide as I needed to get it in.
That's right.
How determined are we to let the things of God in our life? That's a good question. How wide are we willing to open our mouth up? How big are we willing to talk about God? How much are we willing to call on Him and confess His word and say what He says?
Amen.
Amen. Because that's a door we can shut, we can narrow and close it, or we can open it wide and let Him in.
Yeah.
Isaiah 54. Is helping you?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah, just something to chew on. Not to be punny. But it just, you know, I like to keep my metaphors the same. I like to keep them all the same. Isaiah 54. Don't mix your metaphors. That's what I always say. Isaiah 54. Woo! Is this helping you?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you came tonight.
Good word.
Okay, keep the door open. Keep that door open for God. Amen. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. That's the same word translated open over in Psalms 81:10. And it means this, it means to enlarge the place of your tent. I think God's wanting to move in our lives, but we don't have room for Him. He's wanting to spend the night in, but there's no room in the inn. You know what I mean? We got a lot of stuff going on. We don't have room for Him. We talk about a lot of things, but we don't talk about Him very much. We got the door open just a crack, and He can't really do anything to get His foot in. And some of us are satisfied with a foot. We don't need to be, amen? We need to open up and let Him in. So how do you do that? Well, you've got to enlarge the place of your tent. You've got to open and make room and make space. How do you do that? Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Woo!
Praise God.
I mean, if you're satisfied where you are with God, and just keep doing what you're doing. If you want more, then increase your level of praying or believing or talking about God or knocking on that door. How passionate are you about God? I think the danger in most cases is, I know as a pastor the temptation is to just kind of mellow out. I mean, come on, man, I've been pastoring 27 years. You know, we've got a lot I could talk about. We've already done missions we've already supported. And, you know, we've already had some great accomplishments. We could plateau out and sit back and relax and let the world go to hell. We got some people out of hell. They're going to heaven. So, but see, there's more people going to hell that need to go to heaven. I don't want to get satisfied. You know, I really don't understand a lot of preachers that get burnout. I don't really understand the term burnout. I don't know. You know, I mean, I know what it means, and I can define it for you, and I've heard the stories. But I am more stirred up as much or more than I ever was. I love our church. I love coming down here. I love pastoring. I love preaching. I love telling you about Jesus and what the Word says and telling you you can make it, hallelujah, and you can turn your life around and you can come out of the mess you're in and there's hope for you. Are you with me? And I don't want to burn out and I fan in the flames. I really love the Bible. I love the Word. I love reading. I love talking to Jesus. Hello. So I'm not as open as I should be, and I want to open that door wider because I believe there's more He wants to do. I believe there's much more He wants to do. I believe we as a church have to enlarge the place of our tent. That's why we're building a bigger building.
Yeah.
Amen? Because it's more room for more people. Why would I want to get satisfied? We got this neat little church. We got these nice little people, and we're just, you know, love each other, and it's just all so wonderful. And everybody give yourself a hug. Well, that's good. Now we do love each other. I think that's great. But I don't think you have to lose that when you get bigger. We can still have that and grow because there's other people that need this. There's other people that need it. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to enlarge the place of my tent. I want to keep knocking on that door. I believe there's room for more furniture. Amen. So it says this, enlarge the place of your tent. Where are you in your life? That's a good question to be asking. Are you enlarging the place of your tent? Are you making more room for God in your life? Or are you just satisfied you got enough? Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. Wow, what? Paul? He said that toward the end of his life. He said, oh, that I might. He wanted more of Him. To know Him more. I want to know Him more. I believe there's a whole lot more in my life that needs to be changed. I don't believe I've reached that pinnacle, you know. I don't believe we'll ever reach that. I don't believe until we get to heaven, we'll probably be growing in heaven even, amen. But to do that, I've got to be conscious of it, and I've got to keep that door open. I've got to enlarge, and I've got to open my mouth, and I've got to keep asking, and I've got to keep crying and calling and keep confessing His Word. I have to enlarge, make space, make room in the place of my tent. And notice this, second verse. You ready for this? Are you really ready for this? Okay. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of their dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Let me tell you something. If Jesus tarries and I live to be a good old age and go on to be with the Lord, I'm believing that what God has put in my heart and the vision that He put on place in my heart will continue into the next generation. Yes. Yes. And what I will have done here and you have done, all of us have done, has made an eternal mark for God that carries on even after we die. Amen. That's the will of God. And that takes it takes big dreaming. It takes big believing. It takes not getting satisfied with God, but wanting to do more. Now, you don't get upset and frustrated if you're going through a tough time in your life. Just hang in there. Keep believing. Keep the door open. Amen. You know, life's got its rough edges, but you know what? We win this deal. Praise God, we win. We do not lose. Hallelujah. Well, if you enjoyed that, next time you come to my house, thank Mr. Bentley as he's sitting on the back of that couch looking out that window. Thank God we don't have to lay on a couch. We can go in the door. Amen.